Hi, Spring fans. Welcome to a beautiful podcast. I'm your host, Spring Developer Advocate Josh Long, and this show is all about the real heroes behind Spring and its ecosystem.
Hi, Spring fans. It's July 1. I can't believe it. We're halfway through the year. We're already closer to 2022 than we are to 2020. This fact in of itself is insane to me. The time, you know, whereas last year seemed to move at a glacial pace, this year just seems to be flying by. I can't believe one year can so succeed the other in so many other different ways. I still sometimes mistakenly talk about 2019 as though it was last year, because 2020 was a wash for me. Like so many of you, I was stuck in stasis waiting for the pandemic to end. We're also squarely in the middle of summer, so that means that it's foggy, cold, and rainy and miserable here in San Francisco. There's that old apocryphal quote by Mark Twain, "The coldest winter I've ever spent was a summer in San Francisco." And I think about it a lot during the summer months here in San Francisco. You know, the heat from the Pacific Ocean warms the water, which in turn creates a fog that brushes up against the mountains, separating the west side of the San Francisco Peninsula from the east side. Every now and then, when there's a lot of fog, it overwhelms the hills, mountains, whatever they are, and floods into the eastern side of the peninsula. The eastern side of the peninsula is where San Francisco is, the classic San Francisco of stories in yore, the San Francisco of Jefferson Airplane and the Grateful Dead, of countless software companies and innovative organizations, of different civil rights movements and the counterculture movements of the 60s and 70s. That San Francisco faces east into the county and into the country of the United States, and into Oakland in particular. And it remains mostly, for most of the year, free of fog, except in the summer, where it dominates the skyline and weather forecasts. It's also when you get some of the coolest, most eerie looking, and most beautiful photos of San Francisco just shrouded in fog. Lights flickering around, dancing in the fog. It's really cool. It's like Scotland Yard or something. And you can imagine driving around in parts of Europe, like London or whatever, and where they also have fog. It's just really, really evocative, really cool looking. San Francisco weather is mostly a constant. We're like the rest of California in that we don't have distinct seasons, but the summer is special. It's beautiful, and I'm happy it's here. I'm also happy about this episode. This episode is going to be amazing, and a long time in coming. We just had Russ Miles on the show a few weeks ago to talk about chaos engineering, and today we have Benjamin Wilms, the co-founder, along with fellow CodeCentric alum Johannes Edemeyer, who created the Spring Boot admin of a company called Steadybit. Steadybit aims to introduce software to help with chaos engineering and to help Spring engineers build more robust systems. Benjamin was at CodeCentric when he created the Chaos Monkey for Spring Boot, and so he has a background steeped in helping Spring Boot users build more robust systems and services. I, as always, learned a ton, and it was a great fun to catch up with an old friend. I hope you got something out of it, and I hope you learned something, and as usual, I look forward to talking to you next time.
We did it. Benjamin, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm quite good. Good, yeah. Thank you very much.
It's been a long time since we've been able to talk, so I'm very happy we could do this now, even if it's in an odd hour.
For on your side, yeah.
On my side, yeah. So that I don't do it incorrectly, could you please tell the audience who you are and you know what they should know?
Perfect. So yeah, I'm Benjamin. I'm one of the co-founders of Steadybit. And what is Steadybit? Steadybit is a resilience engineering company. We started as a chaos engineering company. And I personally started with the topic of chaos engineering, five years ago, with some consultant engagements in the area of chaos engineering on site at customer side. And also, that was the starting point where I created an open source project called Chaos Monkey for Spring Boot. And This was a very special starting point then, because then I was able to see that people are using my open source project and they are able to get rid of some problems because they have identified some bad conditions in a very early stage. And there are people around the world that are using Chaos Monkey for Spring Boot, but that was only just the starting point for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So you created that, you said 2015?
2015. And that, 2019, so that, we founded Stadybit.
Wow. So that's actually a fairly, you know, that's actually a few years ago already. I can only imagine how much has gotten done in those intervening years. Okay, good. So Chaos Monkey, this is how I have come to know you, right? It's because I talk to people about Chaos Monkey for Spring Boot, right? And so can we talk about chaos engineering before we get into the specifics? What is it? What's the goal?
What is the goal? We are all developing very special applications, and we would like to bring out all our new improvements, new features into production. But production is, as you are telling us all the time, not a nice place, maybe.
No, it's the best place.
It should be, of course, but it isn't, because there are so many things that could go wrong, like some network areas are not responding quite fast, there are some latency, maybe DNS is not working, or maybe your cloud provider has some hiccups thanks to a misconfigured element. That's something you need to take care, and you need to take care doing your development area. And of course, the principles of chaos engineering are talking about you need to do it in production, but that's not the starting point. Please, there are so many bad things in production later on, if you're an expert, of course. But for beginners, start small, but start.
Yeah. So what does that mean? Where do people start if they're starting small?
For example, with some nice open source tools like the Chaos Monkey for Spring Boot, or there are some container-based open source tools like Pumba and so on. That is a very, very good starting point to get started with chaos engineering and to understand how your system, how your application is reacting under bad conditions you are injecting with this tool set.
Right.
But there's one thing, like, that's something I've learned during my time at Codecentric and at customer side. You are then operating so many different tools. You need to create a pipeline. You need to be able to install all these tiny tools to do some experiments. But then you are not focused anymore on your applications, on your development, and you are not focused on to do chaos engineering. You are building the next pipeline just to inject something. You are losing time, you are losing money, and you are not focused on your core business, which you are the maintainer of.
I see. So chaos engineering, Chaos Monkey in particular, that's the Netflix thing, right? So what is that? Can you tell people about that a little bit?
Yeah, this was a very good starting point at Netflix and Amazon as well, because the Chaos Monkey was designed to kill virtual machines randomly. So just killing a machine in production, and let's see how fast the team can detect this issue and fix this issue. That was the core idea behind. And that was something like a culture change, because these bad conditions are now coming back continuously, and not, let's say, every 3 months or 6 months. They are now coming back every week, every day. And you need to improve your system. You need to do something to withstand this bad conditions injected by a chaos monkey.
Right. And so the chaos monkey was a set of different, for Netflix, it's a set of agents or tools that will inject failure into a system. Yeah. And there's, you know, some that like, there's like Chaos Kong, which kills a whole data center availability zone. And, you know, but the idea was that they would do this during the Netflix prides themselves on giving people the ability to do whatever they want, but they also have to take the responsibility, right?
Exactly.
And so they've always had this attitude of, you know, if it breaks, you get woken up. There's no separate, you know, SRE or DevOps team or whatever that's going to clean your mess at 4 a.m. If something breaks, you get the phone call, right? Yeah. And so they developed a culture around, we need to eliminate errors. We need to find them, and we can't find them unless we're actively introducing them, right? We can't see where the breaks are unless we're stress testing the faults of the system.
And most importantly, you need to learn from your failures. You need to improve your system, and you need to, it's not like an fail-safe system. You are not able to create a zero error rate in your system. There are still errors, but you need to be able to understand how your system is reacting and how you could create a nice fallback strategy, which needs to be customer focused. So
graceful degradation.
Yeah, graceful degradation. You need to create a fallback strategy, retries, whatever. You need to improve your system that this can deal with these outages. They are still there. You are not able to eliminate.
And the thing that was interesting about it is it's actually, you would think that it would be very stressful, but the way they did it was, yes, we're gonna have something that's running around, killing nodes and deleting processes and unmounting volumes and doing all sorts of terrible things to your system. But we're gonna do it during office hours, so that there's somebody there to like help, as opposed to like 5 a.m. right? So it's much better to find this out at 10 a.m. than it is to find it out at 10 p.m. right? You'd much rather do that. So they did this all the time, and this gave them ideas and things that might break, and they built up a whole bunch of tools that help stop that, right? A lot of the patterns from the amazing Michael Nygaard book Release It, right? The bulkheads and circuit breakers and these kinds of things, right?
Yeah, but you are able to see that there's an improvement. So they started with a random chaos monkey.
Yeah,
they have adjusted it during working hours only.
Yeah,
but the final step, or one of the next step, was to create a CHAP, chaos automation platform, which is mainly driven by of course Noah Jones and some other great people at Netflix. And that was something like, I need to create experiments automatically. They need to be executed automatically, and the team members need to be able to understand how they could improve. And it's not something that is done randomly, like a Chaos Monkey or a Chaos Kong. Mm-hmm. Chaos Kong is still running maybe, and they are still killing some regions, but they would like to get rid of this random aspect. They would like to do it in a more scientific way.
How do you mean?
More like, here's a prepared, very complex outage, or maybe we have done some source code analysis in front of, and you are not doing a hystrix command at this remote call. You should improve your code, and we have already analyzed your code for you. So that's how you can improve. It's more like, we need to build something that we can learn of, and not only like hitting you with a chaos monkey and you need to survive. It's more like, do something in front of, improve your system, build a culture of improvement and to get a better product.
Ah, yes. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. So all of this was, this is all pretty inspirational stuff. And I know there's a lot of companies that have since, really gone as far as anybody in trying to sort of explore the space to make better tools to accommodate this new way of thinking about building stable systems, right? And so I guess is that part of where you took your inspiration for the Chaos Monkey for Spring Boot?
Yes.
Exactly. Cool. And so what is the Chaos Monkey for Spring Boot? What does that do?
It's a library, a dependency you can use in your Spring Boot applications. And this library is able to inject bad behavior into your Spring Boot application, like in a REST call, like in a JDBC call, or we can edit some latency in a backend call of your Spring Boot application. That's something you could create also with some kind of randomness, but then you are able to learn from it how your system, how your Spring Boot applications is reacting under a latency issue with one of the backend services. That's something you could verify and learn from it. For example, you have created a fallback strategy with Resilience4j or maybe Hystrix, and you would like to see, is this fallback really triggered? You would like to see, is a retry pattern working like designed with Spring Cloud? That's something you would like to verify. And not like with setting some properties, you would like to see how it's going really later on in production with the help of a tool called Chaos Monkey for Spring Boot.
Cool. So this actually helps you introduce faults into your Spring Boot application. What kind of faults? Because there's only so much you can do at the application level, right?
Yeah, they are injected at application level, which is a very small attack radius. In the area of chaos engineering, we're talking about the blast radius. How big should this outage been executed, or where is my border in the system? With the Spring Boot applications, on the application level, you are able to inject very small, on a very small radius, and not your whole system is collapsing. So you can learn from it from the starting point and could increase your radius later on.
Right. Okay. Very cool. So that technology, that's still there, right? You can still, you can still use Spring Boot, the Chaos Monkey for Spring Boot. But then, and you did, when did you develop that? Was that, where were you at the time? Like, was that, were you at CodeCentric at that point?
Exactly. I was doing this during my time at CodeCentric. And there's a very special culture. So there's a plus one model for your working hours. You are able to spend one day a week for open source projects, to do talks, to create create blog posts, articles, whatever. And I used my time to create blog posts, talks, and so on, but also to create the Chaos Monkey for Spring Boot. And this opens many different doors. Because then I was able to see, okay, many companies at this time dedicated to Germany, they would like to get started with chaos engineering. Here's a nice tool called Chaos Monkey for Spring Boot. Let's get started with this. That was a very great door opener. But there are some bad things about the Chaos Monkey, because it's a dependency you need to add it to your Spring Boot application, to your dependencies. And that's maybe something also later on in production, and you don't like to create a new artifact in a new container image without the Chaos Monkey or something. It's
I see. Advantages. So you get different builds, basically. You get one for testing and one for everything else, which violates a lot of like.
This brings up a new problem, because then you're not testing your artifact you would like to execute later in production. There are still some dependencies coming in. There are still some tiny little changes, and it's more important that you are testing your artifact, your image, your version, like later on in production. So don't add it too much third-party dependencies. You are not
using it. So what is, by the way, CodeCentric? Just so
CodeCentric is a German-based consultant agency, consultant company.
Yeah.
And it's a very special place to be, because there's a very open culture. So you can create very create content, you can create very good ideas, and also there are some products coming out, some product ideas. So some products are related still to CodeCentric, but some of them are more than just a product that CodeCentric needs. So there's also a startup culture where you are able to create something very special, very unique out of CodeCentric.
So I know of CodeCentric because, well, first of all, they sponsor some conferences, but also the engineers at CodeCentric often write these great blogs. And these blogs are a lot of times about Spring Boot, right? And so I've always done my best to link them from my This Week in Spring and that kind of stuff. And plus, you've got some very interesting stuff. You worked on the Chaos Monkey, but there's also the Spring Boot admin that came out of there, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
co-founders, Johannes, has created the Spring Boot admin with some colleagues from CodeCentric, and it's also a very nice open source project.
Very nice, yeah. So there's a lot of like, really good stuff happening in that particular organization. I'm a big fan, and they've done a lot for the community. So then you were there, and you created this this Chaos Monkey for Spring Boot. Help me figure out what happened next. Like, how did you get from there to where you are now?
Yeah. At CodeCentric, I was also able to create a team around chaos engineering. And close the window. So I was able to create a team that is doing chaos engineering on site at customer side. And this team is now, increasing, and it's able to spread out the principles and idea of chaos engineering at customers. But then there was a very special meeting with one of the founders of CodeCentric and also Instana, an APM solution tool, and his name is Mirko. And Mirko told me, Benjamin, you are doing great, but I think you should do something else. You should create your own company. You should create your own startup. I will help you. I'm very experienced in this area, and it's your time. So that was a time where I was able to create my own company, and it's nothing planned on from my side. It was, wow, this moment only can happen once in a time. So this is my time. I need to create my own company now.
And somebody was willing to, you know, encourage you and support you in that process. That's very cool. That's a very cool thing that a lot of people, you know, you just don't get to work in environments like that very often. So that's very nice.
It's
okay,
like
good.
A roller coaster you're sitting on.
So that's, what is that? When did that happen?
In the beginning, mid of 2019, there was the first conversations about, and then the founding was in October 2019 with my two co-founders, Johannes Dettmeier and Dennis Schulte, also ex-colleagues from Codecentric.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So now you've got this thing, it's good. The company's called Steadybit. Very cool. What's the product? What are you doing if you're not doing... You've already done the Chaos Monkey, right, for Spring Boot?
Chaos engineering, of course, was the starting point also for Steadybit. So in the first couple of months, we created a tool that you are able to create attacks on infrastructure level like AWS, Azure, Kubernetes. You can do many bad things on Kubernetes level, container level, and so on. And also we implemented all the possibilities you have with Chaos Monkey for Spring Boot into Steadybit. That was the first starting point. And we are very focused on our product. So we are heads down on the product, and we are in an early stage where we are engaged with customers, the handful of customers, like we need to understand your daily problem. We need to understand your workflow. We need to understand how we can help you with our product Steadybit. And that's our daily work now. So we are building a resilience engineering platform where you are able to see how your system is reacting under bad conditions, and we are also pointing you to areas where you should improve. So it's like everybody is now getting started with chaos engineering. They are doing a very good job. They are just getting started, which is awesome. But it's more like, it's like chaos engineering is nothing more like a hammer. You are hitting your system and you are looking at the point where the hammer is hitting your system, but you are not learning from it. So you need to understand how your system is reacting around this impact, around this attack area. And that's something we are helping you and working on.
Okay. And so, how concretely, what does that mean?
So one big learning from the Chaos Monkey was to edit a dependency, it's not working quite good. And you need to be able to run experiments and complex scenarios at once with just one click. And so we decided to create an agent-based platform. So we have agents. Our agents are able to be installed in your environment, and our agents are collecting data. So we can consume data out of Kubernetes, of AWS, Google Cloud, whatever. And we are using this data to be able to describe what kind of targets you would like to attack later on during the execution. So, for example, you would like to verify what's going on if one zone of Azure or AWS is responding slow. You can create an experiment. I would like to see what's going on if this zone is not working anymore. How is my system reacting? That's something you could create and verify with Steadybit.
Oh, that's very cool.
Okay. You don't need to wait for AWS for the next outage. You can run it every time you would like to.
Okay. So you have this, an online tool people can log into, and they can use that to describe and then orchestrate attacks on their systems?
Yeah.
Is that the idea? Okay. Yeah. So what does that look like? What kind of attacks are common at this point? Like what's the, what does that look like?
Yeah, so we are addressing different personas. So ops SREs have more an entry point on the infrastructure platform level, but also we are addressing developers, and developers are more focused on their service, on their application. And so you can create attacks on specific on different levels. Like on the application level, you could inject latency exception on a Spring Boot application. You could pick up one specific Spring Boot application to verify what's going on if the database is not responding anymore. That's one experiment you can run. On the infrastructure platform level, you could verify, let's say, Kubernetes. How is Kubernetes working? What's going on if this node of Kubernetes is going down? Or what's going on if, let's say, a handful of pods is dying all the time? How is my team able to see it? Is my team able to see it? Is my system able to still respond, to still react under bad conditions? That's something you could improve, like a black hole attack in your network area, in a specific area of your network. Or maybe there are some latency or some packages are corrupt in your network stacks. That's something you could run and execute with Steadybit, and you could use our already designed state checks to verify how your system is reacting. So you can consume a lot of data during the execution.
Okay, interesting. So okay, oh wow. Okay, so it runs inside the pod.
Yeah.
As a Java agent, and then that can be, it's like the it's like a little malicious agent running in production, but yeah, that does so, you know, on your prompting.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. And so if you've got, so that means I don't have to redeploy my app to be able to benefit from this. I can just
exactly
install it. Is it like a sidecar? Is that the idea? I mean, I'm not even sure what the metaphor is.
It depends on the kind of attack. So we are able to create sidecars into your pod, into your container, for example, to inject some latency in a network or something like this. So we are doing it with sidecars.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Okay, so that sidecars, sorry?
And you don't need to redeploy anything. It's just as your system is running. That's a big advantage because you can install our agent in different environments, and you can run the same experiment in different environments.
Yeah.
So you can see how is staging different from develop or Q&A.
Yeah, and that's nice because, you know, suppose you encounter some sort of situation in production, and you want to figure out what it is. So you want to start attacking it to see what the issue is. You didn't build that thing with the intent to run attacks against it. And therefore you would have to do a redeploy. But by that point the code might've moved on or whatever. So now I can switch it on retroactively. I can say that build is now also the chaos ready version of it.
That's... Yeah. And also something we have in mind is, everybody is getting started. We are all not experts out there. So there's a couple of a small group is chaos engineering experts, but everybody should do it. So how we could improve our skills, how we could learn it, that's something we have also in mind. So we have we are using all our discovery data to point you to areas where you should spend time. Like we call it weak spots. So we have already detected, thanks to our agents, that there are some areas in Spring Boot, in Kubernetes, in AWS, where we have detected an issue without to run an experiment, without to run anything, but just we have scanned and analyzed your system. And that's your starting point to get started.
Oh, what kind of an analysis can you do without even running the system? Is this like static upfront kind of stuff?
It's not like a static analyze of some files. It's like we are using the data which is coming out of the system, like it's running in a specific environment. So we are not doing a linter on any configuration files. We are scanning and analyzing your system. So we are able to understand, for example, you have a specific application. This application is scaled with, let's say, 20 instances, but it's not distributed quite well because 90% of all instances are running in one zone. If the zone is going down, you have a big trouble because your system is not able to respond anymore. So that's something we are pointing you, so you could improve your distribution on scaled instances.
Cool. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. It's about this. You need to learn. We would like to enable you to build a culture of resilience, to find the balance between reliability and engineering velocity. It should always be your last decision where you would like to improve. Would you like to get more features out, or would you like to improve on reliability aspects? it's up to you, but we can help you to prioritize in the right way.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just, it is really, it's interesting that there's this whole, you know, suite of software around breaking software. Like it's very interesting, but okay. So you've got this thing, it's a system that I can use to describe, save, attempt, and then learn from attacks, right? Yep. What are those called? Is that the right word, attack or scenario or something like that?
Yeah. So since today we are using the wording attacks, but it's something more. It's maybe to verify something or maybe to inject something like a misconfigured element, whatever.
Yeah.
So we could improve on the wording of attack, because I also don't like the word chaos in general, because it's something bad. You would like to improve, and not you would like to inject something which is bad. So attack is also something which has a bad meaning.
Yeah.
So for example, also in the area of scenarios, you are able to, maybe you have done a very big postmortem analysis of a big outage or maybe of a big incident. And with the help of scenarios in StadyBit, you are able to replay this intage or this postmortem at any point in time. So you could recreate a specific incident from the past to replay it and to verify if you have already achieved an improvement.
Cool. So you have a baseline. You can set up a baseline, run the test again.
Yeah, and this is a suite of incidents from the past. We are executing all the scenarios before the next big release. It's like a quality gate. So we are safe in our mind, in our head, that we could survive if this incident will happen again after our new improvements.
Now, how do you kick these off? Is it like a, do you have to log in and click some buttons, or can you do it like as part of a test environment automatically? Is there an API? I mean, how does that work?
Depends on you. So of course you can use our very nice UI. Already saw during our last session. But
I did. Of course,
we are all developer by heart, and you can use an open API. You can create experiments per API. You can create scenarios per API. You consume data out of StadyBit, and we would like to be part of your pipeline. We are not a blocking element. We would like to help you, and you should trigger us by API. You could use our nice UI it's up to you.
Cool. I'm very cool. Okay. So there's, that's a thing I could do programmatically as well. I like that.
Of course.
Can you schedule it? Oh, I'm sorry. What?
You need to later on to do it in an automatic way, because, it's not your job to run and execute all experiments at a time.
Right. Yeah. I want that to be repeatable, but I also want it to be something that happens when nobody's expecting, because I do want some of that. You want that ability. So the fact that I can write like a GitHub Actions scheduled job that just kicks this off, that makes me feel better, you know?
Yeah, it depends really on your stage. So for example, in development stage or environment, you would like to run it by your own. Near to production, you would like to run it by API. Why not? It's up to you. You can still run the same experiment in different environments.
That's amazing. Well, that's amazing. I think people should. It's very hard to explain it, but it's really quite satisfying to be able to try something out and have it do, you know, have it go there and find things for you to fix before you even have to, like, before it's actually impacting customers, you know? Yeah. And that's free value, free benefit to the user.
Yes.
You don't have to lose customers to get it. What's the story for Spring Boot? Like I you talked about, making changes to the cluster. You have this sidecar that runs in the cluster. What does it have to do with Spring Boot though?
Yeah. So Spring Boot was our starting point, and you are able to see it also in the product, because you can enter into experiments and scenarios on different levels. So there's an entry point on application level, and then you will be able to find all your Spring Boot applications. And we have created a specific list of attacks on Spring Boot level. And on the other side, we are able to understand your Spring Boot application at runtime. So we are doing bytecode instrumentation at runtime to scan and analyze your Spring Boot application. And we are able to see, okay, this Spring Boot application is doing a remote call to a database, or maybe a remote REST call to a backend service. But you have not configured a timeout. That's something where you could improve. So we are helping you to improve your skill boot skills and also your application developer skills to withstand a bad outage of an backend service you are using.
So you're saying, like, you can actually understand when somebody's making a network call with like a web client or something.
Yeah.
A REST template. And then that's a very deep granular level of integration. That's amazing. Yes. And so do you actually like show them what they would type, or is it just like, go fix your REST template to use a timeout?
No. That's too easy. No. It's more like, we have identified you are calling a backend service. This is a URL you are reaching out. And also here's a code snippet. You can use it. We are able to see your code. And here's a short link, like you could edit these two lines to your, let's say, a REST template, because you have not configured, you are using the default timeout. That's something you could improve. Just copy and paste. So we are understanding you in your developer area. Yeah. And that's more a guidance from our side. Like, here's a quick fix, copy paste, go ahead, next.
Wow.
Because that's the idea, amazing. The core vision behind StadyBit is also, we would like to create a product which is more like, let's say, a static code analyze system, but for distributed systems. So we need to be able to understand what you have developed and how you are reaching out to backend services and dependencies.
And so you can help with things like introducing circuit breakers as well?
Exactly, yeah.
That's very cool. That's like having somebody pair program with you. That's really cool.
But in a nice way. We are the nice guys. We are not like, you have done it wrong. How you could improve. That's how you could learn. We can learn together.
I love this. I love it. I always like to say that Spring Boot lets you pair program with the Spring team, right? Because the Spring team write the configurations and you just benefit from that. And I like the idea that here we've got the ability to sort of pair program with SRE experts, you know, like the people who have that bread and butter.
Our entry point on application level is a very small attack radius. So we are not interrupting any other people around. So you would like to improve your application you are maintaining as a developer. So your entry point is your application. And now you would like to improve yourself and your application, and you're not interrupting any other team colleagues or other teams from other departments. That's possible. So cool.
That is amazing. So you can have very granular, surgical sort of attacks.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very cool. I'm a big fan, because anything that makes it easier for Spring Boot developers to get to production, which when it works, it's wonderful. I still contend it's the happiest place on earth. It's just that sometimes there's issues, right? So anything that makes it easier for people to get to that happy place, I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
Where do people go to learn more?
They can reach out to steadybit.com, and you can go to into our docs. They are public available. You can get some ideas and some insights. And I'm also happy to hop on a call. We are in a very early stage. So the product is not public listed on our website for free. That's on our roadmap, and we are working on it. But feel free to reach out to me. I'm very happy to hop on a call with you to show you the product in real. And of course, you can do a demo. You can get a trial license. Everything is possible. But we are an early starter.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. And then where do people go to learn more about you if you want to be found? Are you on the internet?
Yeah, I'm LinkedIn. You can reach out by LinkedIn, and you can reach me out on Twitter, of course, Mr. B. Wilms. And
can you spell that?
Mr. B-W-I-L-M-S.
Okay.
And I'm very happy to answer all your questions and to help you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for this this introduction to all these cool things. And obviously, I'm sure people are going to be very excited to use StadyBit to build their apps and get them more production ready quicker. So I appreciate that. I appreciate that what you're doing.
Thank you very much. And also thank you very much for your time in this very late hours.
Thank you. Are you kidding? Thank you. I know you're very busy. You're running a company. You still took time. I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
A Bootiful Podcast is produced by me, Josh Long. I do these podcasts because I believe that everything we do in software is for and made better by people. I want to hear from you. I'm Josh at joshlong.com by email or at starbuxman on Twitter, where, of course, my direct messages are wide open. Do you have guest ideas, topic suggestions, feedback? Don't hesitate to reach out. If you like the show, then please consider rating it on iTunes and leaving a review, as it really helps the show. I sampled music from Steve Combs's Them from Morning in Springtime and Steve Combs's Small Victory, both of which are licensed under a Creative Commons license. I'm trying to hire production assistants to make the production of this podcast easier. I want to make sure that we can add things like show notes and transcripts and just generally do more. If you would like to advertise on the show, then please reach out to me. And if you can't or don't want to advertise but would like to otherwise support the show, then please consider supporting me at patreon.com, patreon.com/Josh Long for as low as $4 a month. Thanks again. No harm came to any seasons in the making of this podcast.